as our Lord and Savior is about to come back for his bride, whom he has washed and cleansed and made holy, without spot or wrinkle, by his blood which he shed on the cross for us. You ambassadors of Christ, you soldiers of the cross, you precious diamonds, stand up tall and straight, be counted, be recognized, be identified, and rejoice in the soon coming back of the Lord our God.
When burdens come so hard to bear that no earthly friend can share, tears drive away the smiles and leave my heart in pain. Then my Lord from heaven above speaks to me in tones of love, wipes the tears away and makes me smile again. I need no mansion here below, for Jesus said that I could go to a home beyond the clouds not made with hands. Won't you come and go along? We will sing the sweetest song ever played upon the harps in glory land. Oh, the thought to me is sweet that my loved ones I will meet at the ending of the journey here below. Seems I hear their voices blend in a world without an end. I won't worry when the time shall come to go. I need no mansion here below, for Jesus said that I could go to a home beyond the clouds not made with hands. Won't you come and go along? We will sing the sweetest song ever played upon the harps in glory land. When Jesus comes to claim his own, I will move to my new home. I'll walk and talk with him upon the streets of gold. A mansion there is waiting me. Soon its beauty I will see in that city where we never shall grow old. I need no mansion here below, for Jesus said that I could go to a home beyond the clouds not made with hands. Come and go along, we will sing the sweetest song ever played upon the harps in glory land. Won't you come and go along, we will sing the sweetest song ever played upon the harps in glory land.
I have been preaching on the subject assurance of salvation. And as we get closer to the end, demonic activity will increase, seducing spirits will be rampant, and the children of God will need to know where they stand with God. The salvation that you claim to possess will have to be for real and not something that you merely hope for. Yes, as we get closer to the end, we know that the Word of God teaches us that demonic activity will increase. Seducing spirits will lead many astray. And if you are a Christian, you are vulnerable to be led astray. But the main thing is, if you know that you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, at least you will know where you stand in your salvation. This is why I preach, get to know who you are in Christ. When we look at the world scene today, we can see that there is much confusion. There are some interesting things taking place throughout the world that has the peoples of this planet looking on in fear. There is a threat of one world government. There is the earthquakes, the diseases. And we know for a fact that the threat of terrorism definitely exists. All one has to do is try to board a plane. And the governments of this world are trying to be being politically correct. Thus, they hesitate to identify the terrorists. Who are the terrorists? They're wringing their hands in dismay and wondering what is driving the terrorists. The common people look at the governments and are wondering, how can you be so blind? Why can you not identify and point the finger? Well, we know why that is taking place. It is because of being politically correct. They don't want to hurt anybody. And today I will teach on a very similar subject of the church not identifying the true enemy. But before we get into this message, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I come before you in Jesus' name. And I pray, Lord, that you will anoint this message. You will give me boldness to bring it forth so that people will be able to understand it. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for your grace. You will open the hearts and the minds of the people so that they will receive the revelation. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace. I ask you to bless us today. In Jesus' name, amen. When we look at the Church of North America today, we can clearly see that they are a mere shadow of the church that is described in Acts, in the book of Acts. The Lord gave me a vision of the Church of North America. They are like an NFL football player. They got all the padding, all the instructions available to them. The helmet, the pads, the knee pads, everything is there for them. And a lot of them are suited up for a real game, but they're only playing touch football. This is what is happening to the church in North America. They're playing touch football with the devil and his cohorts. Many churches in North America do not want to identify the real problem in their ranks. It is demon oppression. They have been infiltrated by demonic activity. I want to show you something out of Scripture that the Lord Jesus spoke to the Jewish people when he came back from being tempted in the wilderness. And that will give us an idea of what God wants us to do. He went into the synagogue in Nazareth, where he grew up after his temptation in the wilderness. And the word of God was given to him to read. And he read out of Isaiah. In Luke chapter 4, in verse 18, it tells us, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of the sight of the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." That's the statement the Lord Jesus Christ made when his ministry began. He was here to set the captives free. When we study the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it teaches us and tells us about the exploits of Jesus. He poked Satan in the eye wherever he could. He would heal those who were sick. He gave sight to the blind. He raised people from the dead. He fed those who were hungry. Yes, he was telling Satan, "You are defeated. You have no more strength." That is very, very interesting. He didn't only come to bring us salvation. He also came to set us free from demonic activity in our lives. When we study what happened to some of the people of Israel, when he went about to set them free, he clearly proclaimed that they had been held captive by Satan, and now he was setting them free. And the religious leaders, who were totally demonized and influenced by Satan, they did not applaud him. They tried to somehow come against him and kill him. That's what happened in the end. They simply killed him by nailing him to the cross, thus thinking they had done away with him. But what brought them to do that? It was because they were totally led by demonic forces. They had given their lives over to demon activity. We have to remember they were the religious leaders of the world. And then Jesus came along and destroyed the works of the enemy. And then he tells us something very clearly in John chapter 20, verse 21. He says, "As my Father has sent me, even so I send you." And this is what the Church of Jesus Christ today does not seem to understand. We have the same commission that the Lord Jesus Christ had when he came. We are here in his stead. We have been commissioned to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, to those who are blind, to give them back their sight, to raise people from the dead, to heal the sick. We have to do what the Lord Jesus commissioned us. He said, "As my Father sent me, so I sent you." Today, many in the church deny the existence of demon activity in their midst. But all you have to do is pay attention. The church splits. The terrible activity that is going on in some ministries. It doesn't take long. Then they fall into sin of immorality and drug abuse. That is demonic activity. It was Focus on the Family that put out a survey that said 50% of the preachers in the United States are addicted to pornography. What does that mean? It means that they are demon influenced. How can you preach the Word of God, minister a Word of God, and still be addicted to pornography? That is beyond my ability to understand, except for one thing. The person could have a demon operating in him. And I've had some interesting experiences along that line. People are going to do what they normally don't want to do when there's demon activity in them. Yes, we the church need to recognize who the true enemy is. It tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." That is where the problem lies. We do not know or understand or don't want to get involved in wrestling with those demonic forces. I remember an experience I had. It happened in a mental institution. I went there to visit a friend. And when I asked the people there if I could bring my guitar to sing a few songs, they said, "Certainly you can. Bring your guitar. It will cheer your friend up." Well, I brought my guitar. Me and my wife went to visit this friend. And we started singing songs. At the cross where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away. I sang different songs about the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the what can wash away my sin. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Then all of a sudden, all hell broke loose. They came into that room. You felt the electricity in the air. There are the people who were managing there. Not only the people who were managing there, but there were inmates. There were patients surrounding them. The look in their eyes were awful. I saw demons of hell staring at me. And they told me to take my guitar and get out of there. And don't bring that guitar back, they said. They thought the problem was with the guitar. I knew what the problem was. The Holy Spirit came and riled these demons up. If I had known then what I know now, we would have had a very interesting experience. Yes, the Lord is trying to teach us. We fight not against flesh and blood. We don't fight against each other. We need to see the problem underneath the problem. Demonic activity has infiltrated the church. We shouldn't be like the governments of the world, wringing our hands and asking what the problem is. The common people knows who the terrorists are. They're Muslims. It is very clear. Whenever there's a terrorism attack, it's a Muslim that's involved. What about the Church of Jesus Christ? We got the same problem. We don't want to identify the problem because far too many of the pastors, far too many of the Christians don't want to get into this. They might have to look into the mirror and wonder whether there's demonic activity in their lives. And I have a strange feeling that happens to a lot of Christians. Why is there so much confusion? Why are there so many preachers and teachers coming against the gifts of the Spirit, which are clearly written in the Word of God that you need to seek after them? Why are preachers telling us that these things went out with the apostles? It is because there's demonic activity in their life. They're blinding their eyes to the truth. They're blinding their eyes so that they will not be able to engage the enemy. That's the problem. I want to ask a question here. If the gifts of the Holy Spirit went out with the apostles, then the born-again experience went out with Nicodemus. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "You must be born again." Well, if the gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit went out with the apostles, then we can also say that the born-again experience was only with Nicodemus. And if that's the case, then we are of most people most miserable. But I got good news for you. The born-again experience is for today. The power and the gifts of the Holy Spirit to fight demon activity, they are for today. That's the good news, and we better start paying attention. If you have bought into that lie that these things went out with the apostles, you need to repent, for the judgment seat of Christ is going to be very, very thorough when it's going to check out each and every one of us, whether we were engaged in battle with the enemy while we were here on this planet. The Lord will open your heart to these awesome truths and make you a blessing. Amen. For the next few programs, I will be preaching messages like these because I believe the Lord is laying this on my heart so that people will start to wake up. For many of God's children are being oppressed by Satan. There is one thing I want to caution people. There is no such a thing as a Christian being demon-possessed. Because when we ask Jesus into our heart, He possesses us. Then we are His purchased possession. And Satan cannot possess you, neither can any demon. But they sure will oppress you. And they sure will cause a lot of problems in your life if you're not vigilant, if you do not recognize the fact that it's Satan and his cohorts that are doing it. I want to show you two scriptures out of John chapter 14. In verse 1 it tells us, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, there you may be also." Many preachers have preached that at funerals. And the people believe it wholeheartedly. They know when they die, they will go to heaven. They believe that portion of scriptures with all their heart and all their soul and all their minds. It has been ingrained into them. But a few scriptures down, there is another scripture that is totally being cast aside. In verse 12 of John chapter 14, it tells us, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." I want to share something with you here. If the average Christian would believe verse 12 like they believe verse 1 to 4, then we would attend quite a few less funerals when it comes to young people. Yes, this is scripture here. The Bible teaches us we are supposed to do the work of Jesus. He healed the sick and he even raised people from the dead. Whenever Jesus was around and there was a funeral procession, guess what happened? They raised from the dead. But people don't believe that this can happen today. The word of God is the same. It's in the same chapter even here. We need to understand that the word of God is the same today as it was yesterday. If we would only bring our hearts to believe the verse 12 like we believe verse 1 to 4, then things would be a lot different in the churches today. I personally believe many pastors and teachers will have to give an account of preaching a lopsided word of God, and they will lose many crowns. I want to try to bring this out into the open because these things aren't being preached, especially over the radio. You can sometimes see it over TV, but over the radio, you do not hear any preaching like that. Anyways, I don't. And we need to start paying attention. This battle is going to get harsher. It's going to get more pronounced. Jesus is about to come back. demonic forces are being unleashed on this planet. But I want to assure you, so is the power of the Holy Ghost. And those who will tap into that power, those who will put all restraint aside and not care for who's looking or what people think of him, they will be used by God to bring forth this last time revival that is promised in the Word of God. So look unto God. Seek his face while he may be found. That goes for the unbeliever, but I believe that also goes for the believer. The Lord wants to use you, but if you're going to reject the Word of God, if you're going to disbelieve it, then God will not use you. If you don't believe in the Holy Spirit, if you don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit, the Bible teaches us to covet the gifts, to seek after them. If you believe they went out with the apostles, if you believe that lie, then you can be assured you are not going to have those gifts operating in your life, even though they have been programmed into you. Yes, this is what the Word of God teaches us, that he will put his laws and his commandments into our hearts, and we shall be his people. Yes, we better straighten out the facts when it comes to believing the Word of God. The Lord will open your heart to these awesome truths and make you a blessing.
Here at Reaching Out Ministries, we would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2.